Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a great day, Tuesday edition, sliding into the happier happy hour, and it's only getting better. We got a fine guest, Jim Santel, host of Morning Cannolis, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. But hey, guys, let me tell the fine audience, you know, tomorrow is Make Music Madison Day. Every year on the summer solstice, you can put a music stage out, and you can play music without permit. And tomorrow, Civic Media, for the very first time at our studios, in fact, on State Street, we're putting a stage on State Street, Dayton and State, and we've got, unfortunately, counter-programming the Devil's Advocate Show tomorrow, but we've got a stage with three different bands, Eddie's Birth, Sunspot, and Dana Perry, 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time. It's too bad no one will be there because they're all listening to the greatest radio show ever. Welcome to our fine guest, Jim Santel. How you doing, Jim? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing well. I'm only modestly offended you haven't booked me for tomorrow afternoon, but I'll get over it eventually.
Well, I didn't know you played rock music, Jim. Or you mean on this fine program. We booked you for today, man. More important, you know. Jim, let's deal with the... you know, the president's son, Hunter Biden, apparently to plead guilty. Three federal charges. A little slap on the wrist, a little time on paper. Jim, this does, to some's perception, feel like a sweetheart deal. Well negotiated by the attorney for Hunter Biden? Or perhaps do you think the impression that the president's son got a sweetheart deal might be a valid one, counselor?
I would go with the former on this one and give some kudos to Hunter Biden's attorney, who plainly was very aggressively meeting with Department of Justice officials for a long period of time, arguing with them about whether or not they've got a viable case. This happens routinely across America. Happened when I was U.S. attorney, an assistant U.S. attorney, defense counsel are looking at their client and saying to prosecutors, what is it you want to get out of this? You may have some routes in different areas. And eventually, I think this particular matter may sound like the particular charges here are not especially egregious, and they aren't. But my guess is that he convinced them that going into some other areas was not going to be fruitful for them and be successful in getting prosecution, and negotiated with them this arrangement. And again, it's kind of in two packages, as you indicated, pleading guilty to two misdemeanor tax charges having to do with his 2017 and 2018 taxes. And then also he's doing what's called a diversion agreement, which basically says that if he remains drug-free for 24 months, he will never again own a firearm, that he will not be prosecuted for his purchase of a firearm in 2018. We don't know all the specific facts here. We do know, obviously, that he will be a convicted, not a felon, but a misdemeanant, and will be sentenced at some point in the not-too-distant future, likely to probation.
You know, I am also a convicted misdemeanant, but they did threaten me with the felony, Jim, and they did put me in a diversionary agreement as terms of probation. If, you know, you keep your nose clean and you don't reoffend, then they wipe the felony and you're gone. You're effectively a convicted misdemeanant in my case. But Jim, I wasn't up on federal crimes and I was guilty of what I was accused, sir. And, you know, I pled to avoid longer time in jail. But even under the terms of probation, I still had to do 21 days in day camp in jail, effectively Huber jail. Jim, you know, shouldn't they have made him at least do a halfway house or something?
Did your conviction have something to do with the destruction of public property and like lighting a police car on fire?
Well, I didn't light anything on fire. Not me.
Okay. You flipped it. I mean, I'm just saying there's different circumstances. We're talking about a guy not paying his taxes, which, you know, I think a lot of Republicans laud Donald Trump for doing that. Donald Trump says, hell, only the suckers pay taxes, Jim. And the gun crime, to my understanding, was on the application because by his own admission, he was, you know, using crack cocaine at the time. He filled out the document saying, I don't use drugs.
Right.
And a real paperwork crime.
But Jim, I had a question of the counselor. My question was, Jim, relative to other, relatively speaking, nonviolent first offenders, and many of us have been that person, Jim, does this seem like due justice under the federal penal codes?
It does. It doesn't strike me as the kind of thing that is wildly inappropriate in either direction. And again, you'd like to think that the fact that he is the president's son has no influence on this. Obviously, prosecutors are aware of that. The judge is aware of that. You can't completely purge that from your mind. On the other hand, I suspect if you were to look at the cases that we prosecuted in eastern Wisconsin, obviously this is going ahead in Delaware there, you could find comparable cases, again, where Dom just indicated, first-time offender, you've got someone who did pay his taxes back, presumably anticipating that there would be some federal criminal penalty going along with that. And recognize too, going back to our first part of our conversation, that plainly the Department of Justice looked at about 15 years of his activity and his conduct. Recall too, that there was this involvement arguably with Burisma, that's that Ukrainian energy company. There was this issue about a Chinese energy tycoon, all kinds of things that are still out there and people still bring up from time to time. No doubt the Department of Justice looked at those as well. Again, this being handled by a U.S. attorney who was holdover from the Trump administration making these judgment calls. That's not an insignificant thing. Looking at all that, this is what they identified as being their most viable, not only chargeable, but convictable nature of the conduct there. My guess is it's probably within the realm of reasonableness for Delaware. And recognize, too, this also has to be approved by the federal judge there. This is not just a matter of going and saying this is the package judge that you will now put your signature on. Judge has got to make some inquiries about the facts of this case. Can also ask about other things related to the overall investigation to determine that justice has been done. All that will happen sometime fairly soon.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our counselor, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis 9 to 11 on Saturdays here on Civic Media. But Jim, I would assume lots of things that the Justice Department should have been doing. For instance, when they're going after and looking at what Hunter Biden did. Maybe they were looking at Burisma. Maybe they didn't. Maybe we're looking at some of these other things you mentioned. Maybe they didn't. And you know why I say that, Jim? Because apparently, according to the Washington Post yesterday, the DOJ was sitting on their hands for, 16 months at least, as it pertains to investigating Trump and those other folks involved in the January 6th conspiracy, the fraudulent electors, the whole thing, Jim. They were doing nothing, according to the reporting. What's your sense, sir?
Right. And again, go back to the times that on this very fine radio broadcast in the wake of January 6th, shortly after that, we were talking about the things the president said from that ellipse that day. It was already leaking out all these other possible conspiracies. We didn't have the entire Eastman kind of a mechanism before us, but within weeks, if not a couple of months or so, and this reporting, apparently reliable, again, from the Washington Post, some folks inside the FBI, arguably the Department of Justice more generally, saying exactly that, that because of some wariness of appearing partisan, some institutional caution, we didn't want to appear as if we were not being consistent with the Attorney General's plan, restore the integrity of the Department of Justice. This is what happens when you go too far. We've talked about this a lot in the past. The Department of Justice is an independent, should be an independent agency, should not be beholden to the president or former president, has got to go right down that middle and call them as they see them. When you start to make decisions either premised upon preferences not to prosecute someone because you're concerned about the political implications of that, or to prosecute someone, which is what we had somewhat during the Trump administration, either one of those is inappropriate. This reporting, again, seems fairly reliable in terms of some of the sources. And I think Christopher Wray, at a minimum, has got some explaining to do here. If I were the Democrats, if I were Dick Durbin and the Senate Judiciary Committee. I'd call him in and ask him about some of this, especially since what is the big consequence? The three of us have talked about this offline. We've talked about it on the air. TikTok, 19 months from today, there is the inauguration of a certain new chief executive in Washington, D.C. Is that enough time to charge Donald Trump with January 6th, to do all the things you need to do, pre-trial, trial, post-trial, conviction things? I don't think so. And that's the concern. If you wait a year, then you're really behind the eight ball when it comes to finishing all this up. Joe Biden gets a second term. You've got a new lease on life, but we don't know yet who the president's going to be in 19 months. And that changes everything in the dynamics of Donald Trump's prosecution and his criminal liability for history.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He is Jim Santel, host of his own fine civic media show, Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings, often replayed on the Sundays as well, in case you missed them. Jim, Donald Trump's got a trial date, and this seems surprisingly quick. In the Mar-a-Lago case, Eileen Cannon, is she the one that would have set in August, a mid-August trial date? Jim, that is before the first Republican debate is supposed to be coming here to Milwaukee. That's pretty quick.
Here in Milwaukee. Exactly. And I read that and I thought, okay, that's presumably what one does. We've talked about this before as well. Speedy Trial Act, which contemplates a trial within 70 days, principally of your first appearance in court. You do that calculation to come out to late August. She's also set this deadline of July 24th, which is about a month from now, for pretrial motions. You can file those, but realistically, I don't know what the bet is here. I shouldn't bet on the airwaves here, but those dates will not hold. It is impossible, absolutely impossible to believe. We've got a trial coming up here later this year. Got way too much to do. Among other things, we also have an order from the court directing all defense counsel to get security clearances so they can view all this. That alone will take at least weeks, if not months, to accomplish before they can begin to take a look at the discovery. All these other things are going to take a huge amount of time, 2024, maybe even 2025, before we see a trial on this.
That's not great news, counselor. We're having a good day up until that.
What are you talking about? I don't know if I agree. I don't like that assessment, Jim. I don't like that at all.
Stick around, Jim Santel. We're going to go to break and try to change your opinion, counselor. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. You, if you are patient on the phones, we might get to you soon at 844-967-2789. I want to talk about George Santos. He's got a bail question before the courts Thursday.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, host of Morning Cannolis at 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. Sticking around, Jim, thank you for doing so. I want to maybe walk back a little bit and get a little into your head about the timing here. Eileen Cannon has announced the trial for Trump on the top secret espionage, you know, obstruction case will be on start on Monday, August 14th. Coming up real quick. And you're saying, and she's already ordered that the Trump attorneys get, you know, edified, they get like whatever they get, they get the security to read the documents, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm looking at here, Jim, you said 24, maybe into 25 by the time this thing actually goes to trial. What things could happen, should happen, may happen to speed it up? Could they drop a few of the charges? Could they, I mean, what do you, is there anything that could be done to shorten the timeline as you laid it out?
Sure. And I know that that is somewhat shocking to hear and to say out loud, but realistically, again, when you add up all the things that have got to happen here, including all these motions we filed attacking the indictment, charging that all the suppression motions have got to come, related again to Mar-a-Lago, to these tapes that apparently they have, all those things we heard, motions, a huge amount of pretrial stuff happening between even the time that a jury is selected. Jury selection could take as much as a month. Presentation, lots of things have got to happen here. Could things be expedited? Sure they could. you could have a judge, and it may well be Eileen Kennedy, if she's serious about this, she could say, okay, I'm sticking to those motion dates. I'm going to have omnibus hearings on these things. And she is still in charge. The Speedy Trial Act, however, does contemplate that you can make findings beyond this 70-day period based upon complexity, the interests of justice. She will almost certainly be compelled to do that. The government may almost involve itself and even support that kind of an extension of time just to ensure that there's a good record on all this. But again, we've had federal district court judges out there have said, I mean what I say, I say what I mean. Let's move more quickly on this. And you could do that. It's just that, gosh, that we've seen these stories before. We've seen Donald Trump's, even amongst the legitimate stuff that he does, it takes time. There could be interlocutory appeals to the 11th Circuit. Remember, too, this is a judge who, as we all know, was very, very hostile to the investigation to begin with. The Department of Justice may well be pursuing appeals. She starts suppressing evidence here, robbing the department of its capacity to try this case, finding that certain buckets, if you will, of evidence are not going to be presented in trial. All of that could take more time in terms of appeals going up and down. Lots of contests here. But again, if she says, I'm going to keep on top of this and day to day to day, really going to keep the lawyers in tow, you could expedite it at a minimum. It is almost impossible to believe this will be tried in this calendar year. 2024 is probably the safe bet at some point during next year, again, right in the middle of the campaign.
Our fine guest, Jim Santel, for a few more minutes. Counselor, the nature of the crime, the fact that Donald Trump has these classified documents allegedly at his private residence, he's not likely to reoffend should he not be eligible to be the president in the future. What do you think, especially due to the complexity of the documents being held, the fact that we may not be able to present this evidence in a trial? I mean, what are you going to get everyone on the jury security clearance? They can't know what our war plans are. Is it probable, in your opinion, counselor, that Donald Trump's attorneys at some point will try to make a plea deal with the federal government and try to get their own, you know, probation slap on the wrist?
Well, absolutely. And again, they wouldn't be attorneys if they didn't at least try to do that, right? The question is, how strident is Jack Smith in this, and what is the government going to get out of it? My guess is that Jack Smith is looking for prison time. And if that is the case, you will not get the Hunter Biden result here. That may be the dispositive thing here. If there is a negotiation here, which probably is already at a very low level, already underway. The attorneys coming forward and saying, listen, what is it going to take to get rid of all of this? And those are good attorneys if they're doing that. If they're not doing that, they're not doing their jobs. But it depends upon what the government wants to get out of this. And if they really are looking for some jail time for the former president, which I suspect they are, then it's going to be more difficult for the defense attorneys to go back to Donald Trump and say, you got to spend 6 months at a federal low security prison somewhere. That's going to be the result of this case. And you're pleading guilty this fall, by the way, which means that somehow in the midst of the campaign, you've got to be incarcerated. I don't know how any of
Jim, they're not good attorneys. They've allowed their client to go out on multiple media interview tours and basically confess his guilt and somehow rationalize why, you know, they're wrong in their legal attacks upon me. It's a witch hunt, but he provides more and more evidence for the prosecutors, does he not, sir?
He does.
And these Jack ain't Smith great is, attorneys, Jim.
They're not. That's why I'm caution about what is and is not going on here. Jack Smith is recording all this. The Brett Baer interview the other night when Donald Trump says, no, those were not classified documents. Those were news articles I was talking about. Well, it certainly doesn't indicate that in the indictment itself. And you'll see that Brett Baer interview once again at the trial. We've got a tape of that already inside the Department of Justice, presenting that in part of the prosecution, or at least to the defense, if you will, in a rebuttal case, if in fact there is a case put up by the defense in this. All of this, not good. They not have control. They never have. The attorneys, as I've said repeatedly, every single morning wake up and wonder, what today is our client going to do and say, this is just wild and it is out of control from the defense side. He should be quiet, quiet, quiet. That will never happen, is
it? Jim, a bad attorney, never has a great client. You know what I mean? Real quick, though, on Brett Baer, Trump has essentially said, I gave back some of the documents. Some of the documents. And literally, wasn't there a legal document where someone attested to that, yes, you, in fact, have them all? I mean, that alone is what is the obstruction, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, too, that little snippet, that's basically the defendant confessing on national media, one of the small offense pieces inside that indictment. It just gets worse and worse. He needs to be quiet, but he won't be.
It gets better on Saturday mornings, the Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. Thanks for coming around, Jim. Stick around, the rest of you. More Devil's Advocates.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A great Tuesday edition. Happier happy hour. Rolling through it with your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Thanks to our great and fine guest, Jim Santel. He's a little too nice like Merrick Garland. I'm looking for a street fighter some days, Jim.
He lays it out, though, man. He gives the facts, even if, or it's, you know, this is opinions, even if we don't want to hear them or don't necessarily agree. So, yes, the August 14th start of the Trump trial for the documents case, for the espionage and all that starts, probably won't conclude within 2 weeks after that, unfortunately.
Jim Santel, the Morning Cannolis will never give you heartburn like he does to me sometimes. 844-967-2789. A few of our callers occasionally give me heartburn. Madame, I've been taking note of the text messages, the shiny new Civic Media app. And now it's available in both the iOS, that's the Apple Store, and wherever you Googly people, you Android people, get your stuff. Was that the Google App Store or whatever? We've got the app up in both
sites. Let's just go to your App Store. You'll find it there.
And I've noted that you can text us directly, and it's much more easy for me to monitor your text. So in hour one, someone texted Dokken with like 4 exclamation points.
Yeah, baby.
That was the Hunter song we're rocking out to, right? And then at 5:03, I noted someone put, who checks these? And then someone wrote, Dom is the best Devil's Advocate, exclamation point.
Man.
And I looked at that number, and I'm like, man, that number feels familiar.
What?
And of course, that's your phone number, Dom.
I was just testing it out, man. But here is what I believe I have discovered, and I did not know, and maybe we can all learn together. That the texts are only open while the show window was up. I don't know that we could text outside of the show window, I guess is my point.
I'm not clear if I can text you back. Some are like, you were asking. I tried texting back. I'm not sure if anyone actually gets the response from me. But I see your text. One more here. Jim Santel was a good U.S. attorney. And he'll tell you that the Speedy Trial Act sets quick trial dates. But as I text this, he answers all.
He does answer it all.
And then a emoji like, man, he beat the very intelligent texter to the punch. He's pretty good.
844-967-2789. But we didn't get to all of it, and we appreciate Jim's time as always. But the dates, one of the reasons why today is such a good day, we're getting some clarity on additional dates. As mentioned, Judge Eileen Cannon, Trump's appointee, set a date for August 18th for his trial, the Jack Smith documents trial. Also, another date has come to light. New information has come to light, man. So let's get it out there. The first debate, Bill Glauber reports, August 23rd at the Fiserv Forum here in Milwaukee. Fox News Channel announced Tuesday the first Republican primary debate of the cycle held in Milwaukee's main arena. The two-hour debate will take place from 8 to 10 p.m. August 23rd local time and will be broadcast nationally by Fox News and simulcast on Fox Business Network.
So we're in
the debate will give Republican field his first big chance. It will also provide Milwaukee something of a test run for the next year's convention. Oh man. Of course that happens in 2024, July 15th to the 18th. The debate will be co-moderated debate by Fox News, Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. Baer recently conducted an interview with former President Donald Trump. Now, I did see on the Fox website, they're going to, like, air part two. It's like, wait, there's more?
I can't imagine. Confessions on camera?
Come on, what? Don't do it, no! So the other dates, Trump's status for opening the opening debate is unclear. Amid early reports, he doesn't want to boost his challengers by sharing the stage with them. He holds a wide lead in the polls among the Republican field. So we got a court date, August 14th. We got the debate coming here in Milwaukee on August 23rd. But what's the other one? It's the other one. The one we know. Oh, Fani Willis, Fulton County DA. She gave a range. Now, that grand jury is impaneled from July 11th to September 1st. And she told staff, like, 70% of you stay home, work remotely between July 31st and August 18th. So whatever Willis does or doesn't do will happen, presumably, before Trump's other court date on the 14th and definitely before the debate here in Milwaukee on the 23rd. Trump's going to not be able to make it. He'll be otherwise occupied.
Quick note, Speaker of the House, U.S. House, Kevin McCarthy, made a subtle admission, sort of a slip of sorts. He was talking about the unfair treatment, the Hunter Biden, the sweetheart deal. But notice the other thing that he says about Donald Trump. I'll just give you a quick quote. Do you think it's equal and fair that a political opponent is going to be given jail time?
What?
But a presidential son, and if you compare this to other individuals in America that have the same accusations against them, the same crimes that they've been guilty of, they're proposed to have 10 years in another time period. So while bemoaning the lack of jail time given to Hunter Biden, the Speaker of the House basically acknowledges the MAGA leader, Trump's going to prison, man. Oops. You think he meant to say that, or was that more of a Rick Perry moment? 844-967-2789. In this rare case, I want to hear from you, CJ. Hunter Biden, he's getting his day in court. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Three charges. There, you've been fully vindicated, CJ.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I know you, Crudy Dom, and Mr. Cannoli believe in truth, justice, and fairness. So, you know, as we watch, you know, Civic Radio, I know we'll cover the Durham testimony tomorrow because you believe in truth, justice, and fairness.
If there's any,
we're gonna
there,
find
there,
out just how corrupt our FBI, our DOJ.
Yes,
and
the FBI has sat on investigating so, Donald Trump and the rest of the fraudulent, you know, partners for a year and a half, CJ. That's certainly troublesome, isn't it?
You know, I've said all along, guys, and you can look back, I want accountability no matter who it is, whether it's the Trump family or the Biden family.
Sure.
Unfortunately, your party doesn't. Mr. Cannoli, I'm sure he's so proud of those 51 liars that lied to every voter in America.
What 51 liars are you?
What are you talking about, man?
Are you talking about the false Trump electors that claim they were the valid electors? Because they're
to name them. Do I need to name them?
We don't even know what you're talking about.
Clapper. Oh my gosh, you guys are so blind on your fantasy.
No. Light it up, man. Tell us. No.
Name names.
The floor is yours, man. Edify us. Tell me. Who's lying? Who are the 50 liars that lied to the American people?
James Comey, John Brennan, Clapper. I mean, the list.
We're up to three, man. I'm waiting for 48 more names.
So, wait, aren't those all like FBI, like conservative appointed type folks, CJ? I mean, listen, CJ, hang on. Let me interject, if I may. All the testimony and lots of the criticism lately, and most of the testimony, certainly in the January 6th hearings and presumably in the grand juries, these are Trump's people, man. You know what I'm saying? This isn't me or Crudy or Evan or Bernie Sanders. These are all former Trump people. So you're going to tell me that all these, every single one, all these former Trump people who he hires the best people, and he gathers greatness around him, that every one of them who have had some criticism of Donald Trump and have testified, you think they're all lying under oath as well? Come on, man. These are your crew. This is a GOP testifying against the GOP, bro.
Dom, can I answer? Because
yes, please.
I've talked to this before. Bring up the cover from the New York Post on March 19th, 2022. Bring the cover up. You can YouTube it. There's the 51 liars that lied to America.
Okay,
CJ. I actually am getting texts in on the text line saying, when CJ talks, I turn down and turn off my radio.
I mean, just trying, man. I'm trying
instead,
to understand. Because this is not a conspiracy against Donald Trump by left-wing Crudy and Dom. Come on, man. This is the FBI. This is a conservative.
Come on, you know what the Trump team is now using to represent Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff, White House chief of staff, CJ, the chief's chief, wrote the book and everything. Now they're using the rat emoji to characterize him because they think he's flipped. But you can only flip if there's something to flip on. You know what
right.
I mean? If there's no there, you ain't getting against Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows, at minimum, committed campaign finance laws, broke campaign finance laws. He didn't even live in his own district.
What the conspiracy megas QAnon folks will say, number one, the coffee boy did barely knew him, right? All those things you're talking about. I mean, look at everybody in Trump's orbit who has been critical of him in the last couple of weeks, certainly, and certainly over the last, who's testified publicly at the January 6th committees, or who do we know have walked into whatever grand jury and whatever district is open investigating Donald Trump. These are all conservatives. These are all Republicans. You know what? So this is why it's so dangerous for your guy CJ, because these are people that are in the room with him.
844-967-2789. Anyone but CJ. Jack from Merrimack. How are you, Jack?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, just peachy keen today. It's a beautiful day out there, man.
It's glorious.
When I first heard this early this morning that Biden, Hunter Biden, had copped the plea, I could already hear the echoes coming down the telephone lines. Biden, guilty. They need to understand. And this is a problem we've got in this country. There are people that do not make themselves educated about things like this. Hunter Biden is an adult. He's responsible for his own actions, and his father is not responsible for his actions, unless, of course, he instigated them, which I think is pretty doubtful. Secondly, Hunter Biden was never in, and as far as I know, has no intention of ever being part of the current Democratic administration, unlike Trump's kids and near relatives.
Come on, they took Hunter to Ireland, the humanity of it. Hunter did recently travel with his father, which is not exactly the same as serving in the White House, but that's how Republicans saw a picture on Fox News. They know it's true, Jack.
Yeah. The other thing I want to suggest is this. If Trump, he's screaming about how easily Hunter Biden got off, well, Hunter Biden copped a plea. He went to a plea agreement. All Trump has to do is admit that he's guilty and work out a plea agreement. If he thinks it's going to be that easy.
That sounds like a plan, Jack.
I would love it, Jack. And you're absolutely right. The situation totally different between the crimes, or at least the admitted crimes of Hunter Biden and the alleged crimes of the former president. So, but absolutely, one admitted, paid the back taxes, copped a deal, and two. I mean, that's it. And this is agreed to conservatives by what a Trump appointee. So this is a holdover from Trump. You can't say that this is somehow you know, terrible. I mean, I can't imagine,
you know,
if I were to be in that situation, I would imagine we would do the similar thing.
You know that that was signed off on by the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray. I mean, you know, it was signed off on by Merrick Garland.
A Biden appointee.
Yeah, there's no way that this plea deal was made with Hunter Biden without sign-offs. Lisa Monaco, everyone signed off on this. Everyone signed off on this. And I got to tell you, it does feel like Hunter Biden kind of got a sweet deal. I mean, it does. And it's perhaps not the fact he's the president's son. It's the fact that he has all the benefits of wealth and power.
Wow, yeah.
Right? Rich people get good lawyers and they get off. Wasn't it the other day they were referencing OJ in reference to Donald Trump? Like, remember when OJ had to get hauled into trial before he was vindicated?
No, there's never.
I'm just beginning to see. Now I'm on my way.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Chasing the clouds away.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. You got something to say? Hit us up right now. 844-967-2789.
Let's go to the phones. Another Jack. This one from Madison. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Hello, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Just, you know, going back to CJ and his commentary there, the beautiful thing about what's happening right now is that Donald Trump is going to be convicted on crimes that he wrote the law for in 2016. That's the beauty of it. It was a misdemeanor, no fine. Now it's 5 years minimum, and it's class C felony. So there, you know, he wrote the law. He was trying to take Hillary down, couldn't do it, and now it's coming back to bite him. I think that's pretty good. But I do have a comment.
Karma's a bitch, ain't it, Jack?
Yeah, it's good. But I do have a comment on another note. The archives department or division, you know, I think there should be some oversight there, too. I mean, it's kind of ludicrous that a guy like that can leave the White House or even leave a secured facility, you know, with classified or secret documents at any point. I mean, and they should have better record retention. So,
but he's the president, you know, of the United States. We've never been faced with a guy who is so careless with governmental secrets.
I mean,
guys, if I may just interject, when this came out last August, Donald Trump was quoted, or at least put out a statement, August 13th of 2022 from Insider regarding the documents. Quote, "As we can all relate to, everyone ends up having to bring home their work from time to time. American presidents are no different. President Trump, in order to prepare for work the next day, often took documents, including classified documents, from the Oval House to the residence." So, I mean, this guy, he's working for us, Jack.
Yeah, well, if you take a look at what happened with Hunter just now, you know, they gave Trump 4 or 5 free passes, too, but he didn't take them. So,
right.
Shame on
yeah, that's
him.
A great point.
They gave him every opportunity to return the documents, CJ. So, there you go. Thanks, guys. Great
Amen.
Show.
Amen.
Thanks,
Thank
Jack.
You. Appreciate it. A little more to throw out there before we get to some more callers, 844-967-2789. NBC News reporting on this Hunter deal. A little background. In 2021, Hunter Biden paid all the outstanding taxes he owed for 2017 and 2018, the years named in the charges. He was not charged with failure to file returns those years. He filed returns, but agreed to plead guilty to not paying enough in both years, the amount over $100,000. So he owed $100,000 in back taxes, called what, 50 grand a year? And then he filled out a form to get a weapon that he owned for 2 weeks while he was, you know, cracking out. Those are the crimes. So there you go. What's reasonable?
Lock him up. Lock him up.
In a statement, the Justice Department said Biden, quote, faces a maximum penalty of 12 months in prison for each of the tax charges and a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison on the firearms charge. But noted that sentences for federal crimes are typically less than maximum penalties. A federal district court judge will determine any sentence after taking into account the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. Of course, they'll usually follow that recommendation.
I hope they prosecute all the tax cheats. I mean, we might collect a few more tax dollars. 844-967-2789. 2789. Bill from Madison. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I would just propose that possibly, I'll be frank, everyone's correct. The Trumpers are a bunch of idiots and just need to let that guy go. I don't know why they cling on to him so much. And then on the other side, yeah, Biden is, it's exactly like what you said, Krudy. It's the rich, truly privileged people with money and connection, you know, they get off of stuff. It's the American legal system. It's ridiculous. But everything can be true, you know. And, yeah, my biggest thing is the Trumpers just need to let that guy go away.
Like, who's that, Hunter?
Like, you know, lock. No, not Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to just go away, let him fall to the side, let him pretend to be the big rich guy that he thinks he is, and just let him fall away, you know.
Cell block C would be a good place for him to fall away to my opinion. Did you hear about this Oman deal he made and the potential conflict of interest? The headline, never seen anything like it. I'll keep it brief. Government ethics experts are already raising alarms about the former President Donald Trump's business dealings with Oman. And the New York Times reporter Eric Lipton said on Tuesday that the arrangement Trump has forged is truly without precedent. This is rich guy being rich guy, right? Writing on Twitter, Lipton broke down what makes this particular Trump deal particularly troublesome. As a New York Times reporter, I've been investigating Trump family international deals since 16. India, Indonesia, Philippines, Turkey, Panama. I have never seen anything like the Oman deal. Regarding the potential for conflict of interest, what makes the deal such a giant red flag, argues Lipton, is that the land being used to build the Trump real estate project is actually owned by the government of Oman. Added to this, notes Lipton, the developer Dark Al Arkan is a Saudi real estate company with close ties to the Saudi royal family. MBS, Bonesaw. I'm sure, Dom, it's all on the up and up. 844.
That's a Donald Trump deal. Everything's on the up and up, right?
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, it becomes a little exhausting. Now Durham is going to say, well, they never should have done the Russia investigation in the first place. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was all kinds of noise, including coming from Donald Trump's own mouth and one of his sons saying we get all our money from Russia now. Donald Trump encouraging the Russians to hack Hillary Clinton's emails. You're hearing other information out there. Maybe it's just chatter out there in the world that Donald Trump is involved with the Russians. So John Durham is saying that the FBI is not supposed to investigate something about that. Period. I mean that.
Mark. I mean, I know that there's so much out there, and it's hard to remember it all. But I did a little reading recently, and I was reminded Natalia Veselnikskaya, right? The Trump Tower meeting. Oh, we didn't meet anybody. Oh, Trump Jr., right? Oh, we didn't meet. Oh, we did meet, but we were talking about
the
Magnitsky Russian
Act.
Adoptions. It was Russian adoptions, and then it came out. No. Of course, it's the Magnitsky Act. It's the fraud. It's Deutsche Bank. It's all those other things. And oh yeah, of course. If it's bad news on Hillary, that's great. And it's even better at the end of summer.
And let's not forget, Manafort literally gave Trump inside polling information to Konstantin Kilimnik. And didn't take any money for being the campaign manager. No, I'll do it for free.
For free.
I'll just work it out on the back end, if you know what I'm saying. Folks, thanks for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We always work it out on the back end.
Come on, for real people. Come on.
Stick around. We got some more fine programs, including the Maggie Dawn Show and Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education. And then up to the Rick Smith Show. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media. Now with a shiny new text app feature that I often read. Thanks for texting and listening, of course.